said unto the salmon, launch out into the deep and let down the nest for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Our dear Father, tonight we stand in need of hearing from thee through the power of thy word, that you would, Lord, help us to live our life in light of eternity and see, Father, the urgency of what we are be doing now at this present time for your cause. So, Lord, we can't work these people up, Lord. We've got to see the Spirit of God apply the truth to our lives. And, Father, do that, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As we gaze upon this passage this evening, we find that these disciples were experiencing a conflict. Peter said in verse 5, Lord, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now, I can relate to that. I've gone fishing in West Virginia all night. I mean, all night long. And you know what? It seemed like when we went fishing, we never took any food with us. And so one night, my older brother Mike and I were fishing for carp. And that's a real delicacy in our home. Don't you knock my carp, you hear me? Now, it's good for Russian people, which I am, and Lithuanian. And if you know how to fix it, it's absolutely delicious. You may not know this, but certain parts of the world, especially in the eastern countries, carp is a delicacy. It really is. However, when you fish for carp, you've got to use a certain bait. It's called dough ball. And I'm going to give you our secret recipe, okay? You take 2 cups of flour, 1 cup of yellow cornmeal, 1 tablespoon of sugar, and a few drops of vanilla extract, and you moisten it and put it in a cloth and tie the cloth good and tight. Put it in boiling water for 45 minutes. And then when it cools down, what you do is you then work it. However, we would make several recipes, so we have a ball when we go fishing about that big. And so one night, my brother Mike and I went down the Grafton Dam in West Virginia to go fishing all night for carp. And so we had no food with us. As a teenager, look at me, I ate, there's no exaggeration, I ate 4 or 5 meals a day and proud of it. I had a tremendous appetite. I really did. And that night we're fishing, we had no food. And I tell you, my stomach began to growl so loudly. Has your stomach ever growled so loudly? You try to pull it in, push it out, and shut it up, you know? And I was there and I was just starving to death. And I told my brother Mike, I said, Mike, I'm starving. He said, Jerry, I'm starving too. I said, Mike, let's eat the dough ball. Forget fishing. He said, let's do it. And he and I ate that big ball of dough ball like that. Well, another night, we're fishing all night for catfish. And by the way, catfish is a delicacy in West Virginia, and it's a delicacy here in North Carolina. How do I know that? I've eaten at the fish camps in Kings Mountain area, okay, when I was with Pastor Wayne Kirk. And so I know y'all like catfish up here. And so one night, again, we are fishing all night for catfish. Duh, again, no food. And so that night, we were fishing with night crawlers. And we got so hungry that night. Look at me. We got so hungry. I said, Mike, let's eat the night crawlers. And so we took the night crawlers. No, we did not do that. However, I want to tell you, I know what it means to go fishing all night and not get a single bite. You know, in the spiritual realm, congregation, it seems like there's always conflicts as you endeavor to bring the unsaved to Jesus Christ. And the reason why that is so is the Bible tells you in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Every time we go and approach the unsaved, there is a resistance. Luke 8:12 says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Again, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so, congregation, you put this down. Every time you endeavor to reach the unsaved, there is a conflict. These men had fished all night and had taken nothing. But second of all, I want you to observe the challenge that Christ gave them. Look in verse 4. Jesus said, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now look here. Christ gave a challenge. Now look here, congregation. Peter was a professional fisherman. Peter was a man, this was his livelihood. They fished all night because he was a professional fisherman. They would not fish in the morning. They would mend their nets in the morning. Peter was a man who knew all about the timing of how to catch the fish. In the morning, after toiling all night, Jesus said to them, launch out into the deep and let down the nets for draughts. Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. I'm going to tell you something, congregation. There's no one in this room that can force you to open your mouth and tell someone about Jesus Christ. And no one can command you to go out and tell others about Christ. But I tell you what, when a person's in love, they cannot be silent. I've observed this, and you have observed this too. When a girl gets engaged, what's that young girl doing who's engaged? She takes that ring out there, and she's showing that ring to everyone. Why? Because that young girl is absolutely in deep love with this young man she's engaged to. And the young man who loves that girl, he's a basket case. He's absolutely a slobbering mess as he's trying to use words to express the deep love he has for that girl. And they can't be silent. You know what, child of God? When we are in love with our Lord, we cannot be silent. And Peter was a man absolutely in love with the Savior and said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he did, third of all, I want you to observe the catch. Look at the next verse. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now look here. I've always had this wild imagination, and I can just visualize the scene right now. I can see that ship, that boat, and when they pull the net up, the whole boat begins to dip toward the water. And they look down in the net, and the net is just packed with fish. So many that Peter beckoned to the other boat to come beside them. And then the Bible says they took all of the fish out of that one net, filled both ships, where both ships began to sink. You know, congregation, the catch was enormous. My observation is this. The gospel has never lost its power. Oh, no. No. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us we're saved is the power of God. And this is the mighty power of God. And my friend, the gospel has never lost its power, and God can save by many, and God can save by few. And the catch was tremendous. And Peter and these disciples saw the power of God in the catch of the fish. And we can see the power of God and the salvation of man's souls. And when this happened, I last of all want you to see the coordination. Would you look at verse 10, what Jesus said to Peter? And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." You know something, congregation? It's a great thing to go fishing. And I love fishing. And I have fished all over West Virginia. And I have fished in many other states, including Alaska. And I love fishing, but I'll tell you what I love more. I love going after souls for men. I really do. I'll never forget, many years ago, I was in the state of Indiana, and we had a meal in the home with the pastor's wife and my wife and I. And at the close of the meal, the pastor said, "Jerry, my wife will take your wife back to the church. I want you and I to go make a hospital visit. Would you go?" I said, "Well, sure, I will go." So we got in the car. We're on our way to the hospital. When all of a sudden, the pastor said, "Jerry, I don't know if we ought to make this call or not." And I said, "Why do you say that, Pastor?" He said, "Jerry, we have visited this man over 150 times, and that's no exaggeration. I think we'll just go." I said, "Well, look, we're halfway there. Let's go." He said, "All right." And so we went to the hospital. The man's name was Mr. Hall. And so I walk in the room, and Pastor said, "Mr. Hall, this is Jerry Savinsky. He's an evangelist." And he said hello to me, and I said hi to him. Whenever I witness to a person, I try to find some neutral ground. And so I began to notice this man, and I said, "By the way, Mr. Hall, do you like to hunt?" And the guy's eyes got this big around. He said, "Well, yes, I do." I said, "Well, sir, I'm from West Virginia. I've hunted all my life." He said, "You have?" I said, "Yeah, that's what kept us alive. I was raised on wild food." And then we start talking about fishing. He said, "You like fishing?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I love fishing." He sat up in bed, and we start talking about fishing. And finally, I said, "Well, Mr. Hall, I've got to go." And I said, "But would you mind if I ask you a question?" He said, "No, what's that?" I said, "Mr. Hall, have you ever thought of where you are going to spend eternity?" And that man looked at me, and these are the exact words he said to me. He said, "Funny thing, you asked me that question." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've been thinking about that all day long." I said, "Really?" He said, "Really?" I said, "Mr. Hall, would you mind if I took the Bible and showed you something?" He said, "Not at all." I opened the Word of God. I began to show this man the love of God through Christ who died for his sins. And finally I said, "Now, Mr. Hall, I never try to force a person to make a decision. I want you to know, though, that I can't leave without giving you the opportunity. Would you like to accept Christ as your Savior?" And he said to me, "Yes, I know I should have done it a long time ago." And that man bowed his head. He prayed. He prayed just out and asked Christ to save him. When he got there praying, I looked at the pastor. And the pastor looked at me and he just went like this. We got in the car, began to go home, back to the church. The pastor said, "Jerry, I've been rebuked. God rebuked me tonight." He said, "Man, I thought he was hopeless. He said he was thinking about eternity all day. And I almost turned the car around. Well, we got to church that night. And before I preached, I said, you know, congregation, I just came from the hospital. And I just led Mr. Hall to Jesus Christ. Unknown to me, his two sisters were in the meeting, and they both burst out crying. I did not know they had prayed for years for that man to get saved. And they wept their heart out as they heard of their brother's salvation. Well, that night, when I preached the Word of God and gave the invitation, there were two teenage girls around 16 years of age who raised their hand for salvation. But they would not come down the aisle. And I never force folk to come down the aisle. I invite you, but I can't beg you to come to Christ. You've got a decision you've got to make. And so, at the close of the service, my daughter Jennifer, who also at the time was 16 years of age, was sitting behind them. And at the close of the service, she noticed the two girls talking, so my daughter said, excuse me, do you girls want to get saved? Because she heard them talking. And they said, yes, we'd like to get saved. And Jennifer said, would you like for me to lead you to Christ? They said, yes. And my daughter Jennifer led those two girls to Jesus Christ. Well, it was snowing as I walked out the door. And my daughter Jennifer grabbed my hand. We began to walk out in the snow. And I said, Jennifer, just think tonight I got to lead Mr. Hall to Christ. And you got to lead those two young girls to Christ. She said, Dad, isn't this wonderful? That's a very precious moment in my life. I tell you what, to see people come to Christ, the greatest thing in a ministry is the greatest joy you ever experience. And they're out there. But you have to be the voice. You got to take the challenge. In spite of all the opposition. And watch what God will do. However, if you're unsaved tonight, my friend, you have no idea that you are the object of God's love. He loves you. He gave His best for you. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's not a greater gift God could give you than what He gave you through His Son, Jesus Christ. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. And my friend tonight, why would you turn down such a gift? I pray if you don't know Him, you'll come to Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, and we're not having any singing tonight, I'm just going to have the pianist play a song of rescue.